This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the open public meetings law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and to the Two River Times by posting it in Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasar.
Here.
Crowley.
Here.
Mrs. Cusick.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Ms. Von Leitner.
Here.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Mayor Glucksman.
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now I need a motion and a second to go into executive session for resolution 58-2023, enter into executive session.
Colasar will make that motion.
Roll call.
Mr. Colasar.
Still here.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Okay, so we will be going into executive session for about a half an hour. Okay? And now I need a motion and a second to come out of executive session.
I'll move it.
Second, Crowley.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So, moving on, we need a motion and a second
I'm going to report on the executive session.
Oh, sorry.
That's good, that's good. So, I believe I just turned it on. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Regina said no.
Well, then, I don't have a microphone. It's on.
It is on.
There you go.
Just bring it in closer.
Yes, now?
Yeah.
All right. Bear with me, it's a little long, but I want to tell you exactly what I said to them and where we're at with the questions that have been raised. So the mayor and council have concluded the meeting in executive session. The purpose of that meeting was to discuss the law in New Jersey regarding open public meetings and public participation in those meetings. We understand that several members of the community have expressed concern over several statements I made at the last meeting regarding comments versus questions. It is clear from the language of the Open Public Meetings Act that public participation is a hallmark of that act. However, all the case law dealing with public participation deals specifically with comments and opinions. The mayor and council of Atlantic Highlands encourage the members of the public to express their concerns, their opinions, and to make comments whether or not those comments are critical of the administration. As I've advised the mayor and council, the right of public participation, however, is not unfettered. The purpose of the Open Public Meetings Act is to open the operations of government to the public view, but is not meant to increase opportunities for public participation in the actual conduct of the meetings. Nothing in the Act limits the discretion of a public body to permit, prohibit, or regulate the active participation of the public in any meeting. Our courts have interpreted the public comment portion as a time for citizens to make known their opinions to their representatives and to petition for the redress of grievances. Specifically, a government may regulate expressive activity if it can show that its restrictions are enacted for constitutionally permissible purposes. Likewise, these restrictions must be content neutral. Examples of such permissible purposes include conducting orderly, efficient meetings of public bodies. Disruption of the orderly conduct of public meetings is one of the substantive evils that government has a right to prevent. I understand that Atlantic Highlands in the past has considered limiting the time during which any one individual can speak. A governmental entity may impose reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on speech in a public forum, so long as the restrictions are justified without reference to the content of the speech, and that they are narrowly tailored to serve a significant governmental interest, and that they leave open ample alternate channels for communication of the information. The Atlantic Highlands Mayor and Council have decided not to limit the amount of time afforded an individual to express his or her opinions. The United States constitutional case law specifically provides that a public body may control its proceedings in a content-neutral manner by stopping a speaker who is disruptive or who fails to keep to the subject matter on the agenda or whose speech becomes irrelevant or repetitious. While the entire body of law surrounding open public meetings deals with comment and opinion, the mayor and council of Atlantic Highlands have asked me to advise the public that fact-based questions will be welcomed at council meetings. But if you don't like the answer, you don't get to cross-examine the answerer. Certainly, as I've indicated in the past, you are also free to inquire of council members during the office hours which precede our biweekly meetings, and also of staff during normal business hours. Notwithstanding, if a question arises regarding an engineering project in town or other information readily available from the business administrator or the clerk, or me for that matter, that information will be provided upon request at public meetings. I've advised the mayor and council to avoid discussion of privileged communications, such as attorney-client privilege or anything falling within the deliberative process privilege, or any other matters regarding confidentiality. But the bottom line is that we will answer questions. Mayor?
Thank you. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to repeat what she just said. You are allowed to ask questions. That doesn't necessarily mean that you will get the answer you want. So that does not mean that you are going to be allowed to badger me or the rest of the council. So just to make sure that you understand that questions are acceptable. So thank you. Okay. Wow.
It's all downhill from there.
Now I know. Now, anyone need chocolate? Because I have all. Okay. So, the proclamation. I'd like to read. See? I'm like, that's how fast I go. I need a motion, a second, to approve the March 9th meeting.
Tolosita makes the motion.
Cusick, second.
Roll call.
Mr. Caliserta.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Abstain.
Ms. Von Leitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Minutes have been approved.
Now the proclamation. This is Irish American Heritage Month for 2023. Whereas Irish American Heritage Month began in 1991 with the presidential proclamation calling upon the people of the United States to a month-long celebration of the contributions, month-long, that Irish immigrants have made to the U.S. And whereas the United States and many nations of the world celebrate St. Patrick's Day annually on March 17th in honor of the patron saint of Ireland. And whereas many Irish immigrants came to this land before this nation was founded with the largest wave seeking refuge on our shores in the 1840s when the Great Famine ravaged Ireland, and whereas across the country these immigrants faced callous discrimination, no Irish needed apply signs were ugly reminders of the prejudice that disfigured American society at the time, and whereas in spite of these persecutions, Irish Americans fought valiantly in the Civil War and other conflicts to protect the freedom of all Americans and to contribute to the success of this country. And whereas in 2021, 31.5 million individuals in the United States, about 9.5% of the population, claimed to be of Irish descent. And Whereas Irish immigrants and their descendants have contributed greatly to the enrichment of all aspects of life in the United States, including military, governmental service, science, education, art, agricultural, business, industry, and athletics, including 9 of the people who signed our Declaration of Independence, 23 presidents of the United States, musician Jim Morrison, painter Georgia O'Keeffe, Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and author Tom Clancy. And whereas we honor the long history of the Irish and the Irish American contributions to this nation, and we recognize those Irish and the Irish Americans who currently contribute daily to the strength and vibrancy of our diverse community. Now, therefore, the mayor and the council of the borough of Atlantic Island, New Jersey, does hereby proclaim March 2023 as Irish American Heritage Month in the borough of Atlantic Island and encourages all residents to join in the observance with celebration, friendship, and understanding with our Irish and Irish American neighbors. Thank you. And now we're going to have a workshop discussion for the recreation app. Coach Whitehead.
And Chris Parmesan.
Chris Parmesan.
So Chris is the expert in this area, so he's going to fill you in. And we're going to ask for
questions. Yeah, you can sit right there.
Is this your Princeton outfit?
It is, but I can't find my hat.
So I'm not sure what it is.
Go right in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we're looking at in recreation, I've been on the recreation committee now for 5 years.
Chris, can you put the microphone on?
I've been in this town for 6 years. As of last month, I joined the recreation committee in September when I moved here in 2017. In that first meeting, we discussed the registration system and its inability to provide good reporting, communication, and essentially made it more difficult for us to leverage that system to run our programs. We use it for 3 programs, basketball, soccer, and the recreation camp. To give you an example of some of the reporting constraints we run into, we are unable to produce a roster of all the participants. We have no ability to communicate effectively, so we use individual emails, coaches' emails. The system we're proposing offers one stop where we can actually give role-based permission to a coach. So if Vinny is a coach of the fifth grade team boys, we give them access to just that, and the message will come from that system, and will not expose any of the town's, the citizens' emails to other people. So it is a way for safe communication, and more importantly, the ability for us to get reports and run this the program more efficiently.
Great.
I'll just add, we've talked about this, and Councilman Colasardo and also Councilman Murphy, we talked as a group with recreation, took into consideration some of the concerns that were voiced here on council, specifically about the evaluation, the coaches' evaluation, and I think as a group we decided that here in the resolution, and I think it's paragraph 4, that we're willing to, or not willing, but we're happy to strike that, and so that the coaches would not use that feature because of a concern about security. So the recreation committee is fine with striking that in the interest of being able to move forward and be able to use the application.
Thank you.
I think it's a great program, it's a great software, and it's going to absolutely benefit our recreation program. So thank you, John.
Thank you.
I think
always
somebody also asked about, Ms. Schaefer, you'd asked about other municipalities, and we obviously that was part of our homework that we looked into that. I know Councilman Dockerty already mentioned that he uses it, I think, with Kids Little League, right?
Yeah.
Anything you want to add on that?
It's the number one system right now in the U.S. The active one that we're using is much more of a low player. I don't know. I haven't looked at their roadmap as far as what their plans are, but the Sports Connect system is, you know, right in line with what you need to do as far as tracking, communicating, and keeping that all that in one contained unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, Councilman, thank you. I looked at the contract, and I'm happy that they're striking that, because the concern I had was privacy, the extent to which you're able to protect the information regarding individual students or athletes. So I'm comfortable with that, but that removed.
And I had the same concern, so I'm glad that that's going to be struck.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Coach, I'm glad that's not a Browns, not Browns uniform that you're wearing there.
Mm-hmm. Would anyone, first, how many people are on Zoom?
20 attendees.
20? Okay. I'm going to open it to anyone from the public. They want comments.
Regarding.
Yes, come forward.
Mm-hmm. My name is Ed Kenny. I live in Atlantic Highlands at 66 8th Avenue. Thank you.
Nope. You got to stay behind the wall.
I wrote this letter back on February 8th to the council, and I just wanted to read it out loud.
Is it a part of the workshop, the sports?
No.
Yeah, okay.
This is comments for public.
No, this is for the workshop.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No, Rich.
Rich Randall, City of Grand Avenue. I have extensive experience in sports Connecticut, by far the best system out there, which is a forewarning, is an operating system. So, information in and information out of people. Those of you don't know, I'm the vice president of the Little League, so Rich Ryan, I was on the board. I'm sorry, Councilman Dr. Darius.
No, you can call me Brian.
It does take up any system that you do. It takes a tremendous amount of people as well. So just forewarning, the system is not going to solve everything. But that being said, it is by far the best sports operating system ever developed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Anyone else? Anyone on Zoom?
No hands.
Okay, so we're going to be moving on. And now we have the public comment on consent and regular items.
Call it Mr. Kenny.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mr. Kenny, come on up. You're back up here. Get practice.
As I was saying, my name is Ed Kenny. I live in Atlantic Highlands at 66 8th Avenue. I had written a letter to the council, and I thought it would be a good idea to come to one of the meetings just to read it publicly. That would be for the record. I hadn't heard back from anyone in the council except for Jim Murphy wrote me a very nice note encouraging me to come to the council and speak, so I appreciate that. I'll read it aloud, and then I just have a couple of follow-up comments to the letter itself. So this was back on February 8th. Dear Mayor and Council of Atlantic Highlands, I moved with my wife and family to Atlantic Highlands a little over 2 years ago, and we have always said how glad we are that we have made the move to this town. However, recently, we have become concerned with the increasing crime in Atlantic Highlands. We don't want to see it escalate, or it won't feel like the same town we love. About 2 weeks ago, we had heard of a heroin bust on 4th Avenue, just 4 blocks from where we live. Part of a stakeout that caught out-of-town drug dealers in Atlantic Highlands. Thank God our police are so vigilant and caught these miserable individuals with their drugs. But the fact that it happened in Atlantic Highlands is damn scary. There have been increasing car thefts in the area too. It's a topic that my neighbors and I talk about often. My wife and I have been much more careful about locking our cars at night. That's something we didn't worry about when we first moved here. Is our town changing that quickly? We've also heard about the possibility of a marijuana shop opening in Atlantic Highlands. What is going on here? My wife and I have 2 young sons. Is this the environment that we want our young people to grow up in? We feel like the face of Atlantic Highlands is changing and not for the better. We'd like to know how the town council is supporting our police to make sure that the town remains safe and protects its citizens. We believe the council is a key influencing body for the town, and that the direction the town goes in is a responsibility that the council needs to be able to steer so that Atlantic Highlands remains what lovely town has always been known as. Thanks for your time and attention. Ed Kenny. I just had a couple of follow-up comments.
Yes? I'm the process police here, but this is your maiden speech here, which is why we let the fact that those items are not on the agenda or the regular agenda.
Right.
You're welcome to speak at the end of the meeting, and that's, but since you read that, it's public on the agenda and regular, and then there's another opportunity later on to talk about anything, anything you want.
Okay.
But since we've already started this, I just wanted to make sure that we know, so we don't get confused.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. Finish your comments, though.
Go for it. Thank you. Thoughts and concerns about, no, I won't make it that long. I'm obviously concerned about the fact that the drug bust in our area, we heard that there was another one, actually a couple of weeks ago, there was one on 4th, and then more recently there was one on 8th. That's about two to three weeks ago from here. So there's been a second incident since I wrote the letter, which is very concerning that this is now happening in our town. The other thing that is regarding the locking of the cars, obviously, but the other is the marijuana shop. I feel all of these things kind of go together because the criminal element is something like this brings as well. So I just want to read a couple of facts, and I can leave this here as well for the council, that marijuana use in users nearly 25% more likely to need emergency care and hospitalization, that they are for physical bodily injury and secondarily for respiratory issues. Heavy marijuana use of teens and young adults with mood disorders have been linked to increased risk of self-harm, suicide attempts, and death. That was from CNN. Denver reports that we found neighborhoods with one or more medical or recreational dispensaries saw increased crime that was between 26% and 1,452% higher than the neighborhoods without a commercial marijuana activity. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services talks about the known risks of marijuana. It goes on and on to talk about the brain health, mental health, athletic performance, driving. All of this impacts all of us that live here. We have children, we have families, and to have something like this here, for the sake of the tax dollars, that I don't know that we need them that badly, that we're going to risk the health and safety of the people in our town. And I think that it's something that we really should take into really serious consideration before we move forward with such a major step, because I know this has been on discussion, and I'm one of the many concerned citizens about this.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, I'm just going to add, talking with the police on a pretty regular basis, like a lot of us do, is that some of those drug busts that happen here were transient individuals that do not live in Atlantic. Can you hear me? So, I've never been accused in my entire life of not being able to be heard. In speaking like a lot of us do with our police force, I'm just going to add that some of those drug busts that were mentioned by the gentleman here, that some of those individuals were transient individuals. They do not live in Atlantic Highlands. There were people passing through. And thank God that we have the sort of police department that we do. And I'm not grandstanding, because it's the truth, that they're on top of their jobs and they're good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And they found them. And guess what? They're not here anymore. So just like there was a big bust that we reported on 2 weeks ago with the FBI, that we were involved in, that our police force was involved in that, and that person went down to Freehold, put behind in behind bars, and then they've been extradited out of our state and away from here. So I understand what you're saying, but it's not like it's happening amongst our own.
But we acknowledge your concerns, sir, and appreciate your comment.
Can we make a comment now, or do I have to wait to the end of the...
Well, is it on the consent agenda?
No.
Okay.
It's on the letter.
We can wait.
I'll go.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any comments? Consent agenda?
I'd like Mr. Kenny to know that he feels welcome in this town. First of all, this is just a statement, but if he was. He wrote a letter on February 9th, and it hasn't been acknowledged until now. I know it doesn't sound like he has any questions in it, but I would think that the mayor and council and the town is warm and loving as this one is, where they at least acknowledge that he wrote to them. So I'd like Mr. Kennedy to know that he and his family are certainly welcome here, and he can come to all the meetings because he's an eloquent speaker, and he came up and kept trying to talk, which I thought was pretty good. Secondly, I'm glad you are recognizing the Irish
American
in the United States. They fought in war wars before the Civil War, though.
That the Irish have been here since the Revolution. Mm-hmm. They're very many Irish support during the Revolution. Mm-hmm. There are also many Irish who are recipients of the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I'm sure you all know acknowledge March 25th is the Congressional Medal of Honor Day. So, that's kind of an important thing for 3,116 people. Could I ask, please, who all attended the executive session?
The mayor and council.
And also the our the school was not.
No, the mayor recused her. The mayor left the part of the executive session having to do with the acquisition of property.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
And I know that you said in your thing saying thank you very much that we can talk at meetings and we can ask questions and maybe we'll get an answer and maybe we won't. But I appreciate the fact that you're acknowledging that, yes, we can ask questions. You indicated in the long thing that you read that we could ask questions of, I know we can ask them of Ms. Clark and Mr. Perugina. If we ask them of you, Ms. Shaker, or do I address this question to the council?
It's address the question to the mayor, and if the mayor will tell you who can answer it, if it can be answered, or we'll get you an answer.
Gotcha. Thank you. Mayor, I want to know if we address questions to Mrs. Shaker. Then is Mrs. Shaker billing
for
those questions?
Well, if she's here, she's being paid to be our lawyer, and she's at the meeting.
Not at the meeting. I mean, you told her statement said that we could ask Mr. Regina during the week, we could ask Ms. Clark during the week, and we could ask Mrs. Shaker during the week. The question is, if we ask Mrs. Shaker during the week, is she billing the borough for that?
And Mrs. Smith, if that's what you heard me, I didn't say that. At this meeting, you're certainly willing to, you're allowed to ask questions, and if it's proper for me to answer them, like I just answered your last question, that's fine. If you have questions that are legal in nature, you're going to direct them to Mr. Ferdinand. If it's something that he passes on to me that is outside the meeting's discussions, then the likelihood is that I would bill for it. But it depends. I can't.
Okay.
I get paid to be here, though. So while I'm here, you're not paying anything extra. So have at it.
Thank you, Shannon. Is there going to be a formal action? Are you going to take a motion that you're also going to let people talk at meetings?
No formal action.
No. Whatever you discussed in there.
Correct. Correct.
Afterwards.
No reason to have. Okay. Yeah. About.
That took me for a while. Thank you, kindly.
Okay. Sure. No problem.
And sir, I'm sorry. I'm replaying the tape in my head. I think I came across a little too strident. I apologize. And I didn't respond to your note. I read your note when it came through, but I didn't see any questions. But I just wanted to explain what our pleas were doing. But thank you.
Yeah, the question was how will the council support that?
Continuing to support our pleas, yeah, for sure. And give them the tools.
Okay, so are there any on the consent agenda? Questions, comments on the consent agenda or on Zoom?
No hand raised.
All right. So let's move forward, and we have our consent agenda now. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 59, authorizing submission of the Sustainable Jersey Grant application. Resolution 60, approving the 2022 LOSAP contributions. Resolution 61, payments of bills, $381,643.86. And Resolution 63, authorizing shared services agreements with Highlands, the Land Use Secretary. So I need a motion and a second.
Murphy moves it.
Duffy second.
Any comments, questions? Okay, with that, roll call.
Mr. Concerto.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Wendleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Okay, now Resolution 62-2023, authorizing contract and implementation of the Sports Connect online service.
I'll move it.
Mark Crowley, seconds.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Just to clarify, we are striking that language.
I was just about to ask that question, right?
My yes is contingent on striking that language.
Paragraph 4.
Right.
Yes.
Which means it'll also come out of any contract that we sign with them.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Resolution 62 has passed.
Okay. So, ordinance 4, establishing the exterior lighting standards. This is the introduction.
Mayor, we're going to table this. This time, Austin, I'm going to make a motion to table it.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. And vote.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Lundner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 04 has been tabled.
And Ordinance 6, establishing application and fees for film permits.
Mayor, I have some issues with this ordinance. I'm going to make a motion that we table this one. If anybody else will second, there's some wording in the ordinance that I don't think is right, and some concerns I have. And I've discussed briefly with John. I'd like to talk further with him about this, if we could table this. So I've made a motion.
I mean, there's no problem with if you're open to, we actually talked about whether or not you had offered to table this tonight. I'll second it. And I mean, I don't think it was necessary because it's a first reading and it can be updated, at the workshop. There were significant differences in the lighting ordinance that had already been brought by two council members.
I have significant issues with some of the wording.
Okay. So I just didn't know about it ahead of time. I knew about that ahead of time.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
I have to recuse.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 6 has been tabled.
Okay. Now moving on, we have our reports. Councilman Colasardo?
Sure. No update on fire. In terms of recreation, the borough is still accepting applications for the summer recreation director. So please go on to ahnj.com, head to the recruiting page, the recreation page, fill out the application and get it to the borough administrator, Mr. Ferragina. Additionally, everyone start cleaning out your attics, basements, garages, closets. May 13th is the town-wide garage sale. You can sign up for that on ahnj.com. It's $10 to participate. I'm pretty confident that you'll recoup that money if you sell a vase or some stemware that's hidden in your basement somewhere. That's it for recreation. In terms of environmental, the next meeting on environmental is the 28th. But there is something in the works for Earth Month. The Environmental Commission is working on, and we're still working out the mechanics of it, but a QR code endeavor where there will be posts in the ground all over town. You'll be able to scan the QR code and you'll get information regarding sea level rise and climate change, and it'll be really informational for residents of all ages. I think it's a really great program that the Environmental Commission is enacting. Again, we still have some mechanics that we need to work out, but we believe that we'll be able to work through them and really present a nice informational activity during the month of April. As it relates to Shade Tree is in the process of ordering the commemorative tree for Arbor Day, which will be planted in Many Mine Park. They are going to be working with the borough engineer, CME, to determine where in the park it should be planted. And I think that's also going to be a really fantastic event with the tree planting. And the plan is to have that going by April 22nd, which is Arbor Day. That's all for me. brief report.
Thank you. Councilman Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. First Aid Squad. Year-to-date, they've answered 91 calls versus this time last year, we were at 37 calls answered. So they continue to triple their response. March 1st to March 22nd, they answered 20 calls this year versus 12 last year. Continuing education is set with an EMS refresher, A, B, and C in April. Councilman Murphy, do you want to read I'll leave the stretcher and the ambulance to you if you want to do that? Okay. So Councilman Murphy will finish up that report. In terms of our DPW, all residents and businesses are reminded that cardboard and paper products need to be tied up into bundles or broken down and placed into a secured box, especially with these winds. Otherwise, these products blow all around. Buildings and grounds members recently spread topsoil and seeded many areas of Veterans Park, which I'm sure if you didn't see, you smelled it. We are asking that the residents stay off the grass areas. The grass takes hold. Let me go to our police. Let's see. Oh, one moment. While I'm looking up police, I'll tell you that in Recreation Committee, what I'll add is that we had a pretty substantive conversation about fingerprinting and background checks for borough volunteers that are working with kids either at recreation summer camp or soccer or basketball. And we just actually had an in-service program tonight where we discussed that a little further, educated all of ourselves on that. And we are moving forward with probably a final suggestion of how to go, how to take care of that here in council. Police, drivers are required to use due caution whenever they encounter vulnerable people that are on foot, bicycle, scooter, or on a wheelchair, or otherwise not in a car, bus, or truck. Drivers must move over, for example. Drivers must move over a lane if there's one to move over into while following all current no passing and no speeding laws. On a single lane road, you're reminded that drivers should provide a distance of at least 4 feet to safely pass a vulnerable road user. And if 4 feet is not possible, drivers must slow to 25 miles an hour and be prepared to stop until they can pass safely without endangering those sharing the road. Violating any of those laws results in a $100 fine. Causing bodily injury results in a $500 fine and 2 motor vehicle points. Also, our police department is in the process of launching an Instagram site, so be on the lookout for it. And that's to sort of expand their presence to the public. That's it, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilwoman Kuse.
Okay. The Senior Citizens Committee finally has met. We met on Monday. We discussed at length the potential focus, goals, and responsibility of the committee and drafted a mission statement, which I finally got to Mr. Tarantino. One of the major concerns are the frail elderly and shut-ins and how to identify them and address some of their concerns and their issues. We are recruiting for at least one more member of the committee, so if you are interested and are at least 62 years old, we're making sure everybody's a senior is on the committee, please go to the borough's website and sign up on the volunteer to be the volunteer on a committee. Our next meeting will be held April 25th, so I may not have a report next meeting. Office of Emergency Management, I was at a conference earlier today that actually ties the senior committee and the Office of Emergency Management together. The program put on by FEMA and New Jersey Department of Human Resources Division of Disaster Mental Health and Addiction Services, and I had no idea there was a specific group that organization within the our state specifically for disaster mental health and addiction services, so that was kind of interesting for me. And the Office of Senior Services, we discussed disaster planning and emergency preparedness specific to the senior population, so I hope that some of this stuff will bring forward within our community. I just want to remember that the Go Bag program that is planned for May 9th will probably incorporate some of this information. That will take place at the Senior Center on May 9th from 10 to 12 o'clock. And lastly, the veterans, thanks to the article that was published this month in the Atlantic Highlands magazine, The word is out that we are looking for information on the 14 killed in action. I spoke about at our last meeting. For example, Alma Weisthoff, many of you have probably had her as a teacher, lovely woman. She is actually going to go through the album that we received from the Historical Society and may actually recognize some of these gentlemen these military, because she actually was around where so many of them were alive. So I'm really going to have fun having a nice cup of tea with her. The committee is also looking into coordinating with the Chamber of Commerce to provide special discounts or services to veterans. Again, thanks to Mr. Ferrangino, Rob.
I've heard worse.
The committee will also be investigating a similar program that the county is sponsoring called Honoring Our Veterans, which supports both veterans and Gold Star families. And for those who may not know, Gold Star families are those families who have lost someone who was in active duty. So we're going to be busy, and we're looking forward to doing more things.
Thank Mayor. You. And Councilman Dougherty?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll start with Finance and Personnel tonight. The Finance Committee met on March 13th. The fiscal 2023 budget is on track to be presented in April, so stay tuned for that. On the personnel side, there are two new hires to report. Effective April 10th, Catherine A. Pooler will be an employee of the borough. Catherine will be trained by retiring municipal employee Diane Baird and will be replacing Diane on April 28th as the utility collector on the date when she retires. In addition, Catherine is a certified tax collector and will replace Kathleen Kitty Intravartolo as the borough's tax collector on June 1st, 2023. And as approved as part of the consent agenda, Ms. Nancy Tran will be assuming the role of Planning Board Secretary effective April 1st. We look forward to welcoming both Ms. Pooler and Ms. Tran to our terrific municipal team and wish Diane Baird and Corinne Basucchio the best of luck. As a reminder, applications are still being accepted for the Summer Recreation Camp Director and for Camp Counselors for our Summer Rec program. Interested applicants can find out more information on ahnj.com. As Councilman Colasoto mentioned, there's nothing to report for the fire department. I would just like to add my thanks for all the LOSAP Length of Service Award program participants who were awarded this evening as part of the consent agenda for both fire and EMS. Thank you for your service. EMS Task Force met on March 6th, where the group had an excellent discussion on some short-term, medium-term, and long-term recommendations to the squad. Chief Hubany has been invited to the next Task Force meeting on Monday, April 24th, where we will plan to discuss these ideas with him. Our goal as a Task Force remains to complete our work by the end of May and present recommendations to the governing body in June. Planning Board, very briefly, the Planning Board will meet next Thursday, April 6th at 7 p.m. here in this room and on Zoom. I think it's two Thursdays. Mm-hmm. This will be Nancy Tran's first meeting with us, so she will be there on April 6th. And finally, one of the true gems of Atlantic Highlands and Monmouth County in general is the Henry Hudson Trail. As anyone who has ever ridden the trail by bicycle knows, the linkage between the main portion of the trail that parallels Route 36 and the waterfront portion along the bay is along Avenue D and then Center Avenue. The linkage is not very clearly marked. I frequently spot confused cyclists in my neighborhood checking mm-hmm. out Google Maps, trying to figure out where to go. Well, that's about to change. Our partners with Monmouth County Parks have agreed to install Sharrow markings. These are Sharrow markings on the street. There will be 30 of them on the stretch between the main portion of the trail and the bay portion of the trail along the streets. And the park system has agreed to install these free of charge. I'm going to say that again. They've agreed to install these free of charge for the borough. So I'd like to personally thank Andrew Spears with the Monmouth County Park System and Mr. Ferragina for his help in making this happen. And it's really going to improve not only wayfinding and confused cyclists trying to find their way, but also definitely going to improve safety for cyclists along that way. So thank you for that. I'm excited that this is going to take place. We're told that this work will be completed before the end of April. So it'll even be in place by spring and summer. So it's very good news.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you, Mayor. Fair report.
Councilwoman Hornweiler.
Thank you, Mayor. Briefly, so thank you for covering the finance piece of this. As part of the Finance Personnel Committee, we completed Mr. Ferragina's review, and we are just documenting it for his file. It was very positive, and Mrs. Smith, your comments were brought up in his review as part of the good customer service that we have at Borough Hall. Speaking of the excellent customer service at Borough Hall, I've had multiple residents reach out to me this week that had recent experiences both with the police department, our roads department, and Mrs. Clark's office and Mr. Ferragina's office, and it was universally very, very positive. And these were people who are friends of mine that the people that they were working with didn't know were friends of mine, so it was very nice to hear. One incident had to do with a gas line on Mount Avenue, and the police were super helpful and got them, pointed them to the right direction really quickly. Thank goodness New Jersey Natural Gas is located here, and they were able to make the repair. And then we also got news, I think a lot of people saw it on Facebook, that our chief of police, Scott Reiner, achieved this fabulous standard of accredited command executive chief of police. He's in the other room, he hears me. Good job, Scott. The mayor and I were informed that because of an emergency surgery in the family of our financial expert, that our regionalization meeting has been postponed till April 21st, and that's supposed to be the mediation, so that is April 21st now. I was very happy to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade along with members of the mayor and council. Very happy. There was a CME meeting set up that is about the shade tree ordinance that we are looking to make some changes to the shade tree ordinance. So Mr. Romeyer and a member of his team is going to be making a meeting and some changes to the ordinance that we think will improve town. Ms. Cruz, Ashley Cruz, a member of the Shade Tree Commission, will also be attending. And I think, we did receive from Open Space last night. The Open Space Committee had a great meeting earlier this month, and we did receive communication on recommendations for, it was recommendations about the redevelopment plan that would be going into place if we adopted one at St. Agnes. So there were some great recommendations in there, and I believe the entire mayor and council has received that now. Except the mayor.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's it.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. First off, as a proud Irish Catholic, I want to say thank you for reading the proclamation. Mm-hmm. That was much appreciated. Mm-hmm. It made me happy as well. I'm going to jump over to just DPW and just a couple of things to add to John's report. Reminder to all residents, next Wednesday starts the change to the borough's recycling schedule. The borough is going to a every other week recycling pickup schedule. This will allow for residents and businesses additional recycling pickups throughout the year. Reminder, zone by zone brush pickup starts in April. Please do not put any material in the roadway until 5 days prior to the zone's pickup. Another reminder, the borough yard is open Monday through Friday for Atlantic Highlands residents for brush and recycling drop-offs. Please refer to the borough calendar for all DPW instructions. And just to add to John's first aid, as John started to mention, First Aid Squad did purchase a new electric stretcher, which is a vital capital investment, capital improvement, if you will, to the squad itself, saving the backs of all of our first responders, and improving the overall service. We'd like to thank, on behalf of the squad, the Rossback family, who in lieu of flowers collected donations for our first aid squad, which were used happily to purchase this capital improvement. And that's it for me, Mayor.
You know what, I'll add then. For recreation, we have the Easter egg hunt.
You left that for me, didn't you?
I gave you left you an egg. You didn't take it. On April 8th, there's going to be the Easter egg hunt. Would you like to continue?
No, you've got this ball. You've got this egg. You may run with it.
And it's going to be at the harbor this year. They're going to have two locations. It's going to be really great. It's Councilman Murphy's actually integrally involved in the planning of it, despite not
mentioning it.
They're going to have two stacks of hay. There's going to be eggs throughout the hay. And I believe there's going to be one or two eggs with like golden tickets in it.
All right, you're getting very yokey over here, so let me jump in. So we are going to have hay spread out throughout the field, and the eggs will be hidden underneath the hay where our children can have a little hunt and find them. And yes, there will be some golden tickets with some great prizes for anybody who finds that those eggs. So thank you for that. Also, I will add that the paper shredding will take place this weekend in our harbor. So if you have some vital documents and you want to get rid of them, this is the weekend to do so. Thank you.
Okay. And now, moving on to administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. There will be no utility pole updates this evening. It was brought to my attention after the last meeting that the current elevator inspection certificate was not displayed in the building elevator. It is now displayed. So thank you to Ms. Trank for bringing that to my attention. On March 10th, I attended a virtual meeting held by Commissioner Sean M. LaTourette of the New Jersey DEP, which explored a grant program that can help municipalities improve the health of their waterways. So we're currently looking at that. On March 15th, I attended the Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund monthly meeting held via Zoom. On March 16th, Governor Murphy signed Executive Order Number 321, ordering the flag of the United States and the flag of New Jersey to be flown at half-staff from Thursday, March 16th through Thursday, March 23rd, in recognition and mourning of Senator Ronald Rice. On March 16th, I attended, along with Mayor Gluckstein and Councilwoman Cusick, the Monmouth County 5th Annual Municipal Elected Officials Workshop at the Special Operations Center Room of the Monmouth County Sheriff's Office in Freehold. Topics discussed include Daniel's Law, Shared Services, Cybersecurity, Tourism and Economic Development, and grant programs for municipalities. On March 21st, the police chief and I attended a day-long training course hosted by Middletown Township Police Department titled Crisis Communications, presented by the FBI National Academy instructors Gail Pennybacker and Ken White. The annual Mel Giff Public Official Seminar was held for the governing body prior to this meeting. That is held annually, and that saves the borough approximately $2,000. So thank you to the elected officials for attending that this evening. And since it was brought to our attention, I would like to acknowledge March 25th as Medal of Honor Day. It was established by Congress as National Medal of Honor Day to foster public appreciation and recognition of Medal of Honor recipients. So thank you to Muriel Smith for bringing that to our attention. And that's it for my report, Mayor.
Thank you. And now, Don Grohmeyer, CME.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, the 22-row program is continuing at this point. I'm sure you've all seen the contractors' concrete crews throughout the municipality. They're over on Cross, they're on Mount, East Highland as well. So the concrete work, the curbing, the handicap ramp work, that phase is coming to an end at this point. There's probably about another week or so worth of work. And once that is complete and we're all satisfied, we address any concerns from the residents with the way that that's been installed and graded. The contractors anticipating and mobilizing their milling and paving equipment sometime mid-April. So that's the next step at this point. Everything's going along well in terms of budgeting and calendar for this one.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Shake, questions?
Again. I'm waiting. So pretty much this past couple of weeks, we've been working with the business administrator on several research projects, also looking at the lighting ordinance that Mr. Seta started. I know some of the council members have concerns about it, so we're working on that. We're reviewing OPA requests, that some of which may have been precipitated by my comments 2 weeks ago. And we're also working on the ordinance that Councilman Crowley is talking about for fingerprinting anyone who's dealing with minors. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Action. Beach sweeps.
Sorry.
Okay.
beach sweeps are Saturday, April 1st. Registration is still open. Please go. What? You're going to talk about that?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. So, moving on to public comments now. How many people on Zoom?
21 attendees, one hand raises.
Okay, let's go to that person.
Hi,
There we go.
Hi, Jim Smith, 435 East College Avenue, and Olive Springs, Mississippi. Man, like you, one might think I'm beating a dead horse. I could agree with Mr. Kenny more. The face of Atlantic Islands is changing, and not for the better. Unfortunately, I feel the largest change is with the elected officials. I'm happy to find that the quote-unquote rule of not asking questions has been clarified and abolished. That quote-unquote rule was certainly a change, and not for the better. I'm happy for a number of reasons. The first was inferred by Mr. Kenny. The majority of communications that are sent by concerned citizens to the elected officials are ignored. Mayor, you, for example, have never responded to any correspondence I've ever sent to you. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the quote-unquote rule of not asking questions was patently disparate. In other words, discriminatory. This rule was instituted during or at the January 26th meeting. In the four meetings since, there were a number of questions asked and answered. Mayor, that horse may not be dead, but he already left the gate. All this leads me to my questions, and hopefully, Mayor, this new attorney won't have my mic turned off like Mr. Senna has had in the past. If, during those meetings since January 26th, no questions were allowed, although some were asked and answered, why was Muriel Smith publicly chastised no less than 12 times for asking questions, and not one of her questions were answered? Why were none of her questions answered? I gotta ask myself, were they not answered because of her age? Were they not asked or answered because of her disability? Or is it simply because you and the council may not like what stories she publishes? And since there was no action taken based on the Open Public Meeting Act questions, since there was no action taken on the discussion in the executive session this evening, when will those minutes or the portion of that executive session relating to Open Public Meetings Act, when will those minutes be available for release? And if they're not, and if we agree that questions were asked and answered, but Muriel Smith's response was to be chastised, that's the definition of disparate treatment.
Thank you. Anyone else on Zoom? Okay.
Good evening. Marilyn Sherpin, 55 Avenue D. I want to say I'm so excited about our Councilman Doherty's announcement of the markings that will be along the trail. Thank you for announcing that. That's really encouraging to know. It will be very helpful because we see those same people that Brian does along the trail. Thank you. And once again, I'm hoping to encourage those of you that haven't done so to get your certified. Thank you, Councilwoman Cusack, who is one of our newest certified members. And that brings us up to 90 now. We're at 90. We need 100. I'm reaching out to you again, hoping that we can maybe get that 100 by Earth Day. It would be fabulous. And just reminding you that the Arts Council and Wild About Atlantic Highlands plan a lot of activities. We've got a lot of activities planned. Morgan Spicer has put together a wonderful map and a list of activities in her very fantastic artistic way, telling of all the things that the council, the Arts Council, and Wild About Atlantic Highlands has planned for you. And we hope you'll participate in many of those. And once again, I mentioned it last time, but I'd like to encourage all of those of you that can make it to come to the opening reception of Garden State It's an art exhibition that reflects our feelings about the environment, and it's on April 1st, 6 to 8, at the Arts Council on First Avenue. Thanks an awful lot.
Ms. Sherfin, before you disconnect, Ms. Sherfin, if you're still there, before you disconnect, Ms. Sherfin, is there, regarding this garden, can you elaborate to some of the residents that may have a garden that they may not think is qualified to be certified, but allow them to understand that maybe they can be certified?
Oh, thank you, Councilman Murphy. Absolutely, it's very, very simple. It's really a minor amount of things. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be bought from a store. You need to have for your garden food, shelter, water, a place to raise young, and cover. So what does food mean? Do you have to have birdseed? No, you can have a holly tree like I do. And we encourage the use of native plants because those often give both the shelter or the cover or the food that the birds or the pollinators need. And it only requires a person going to the National Wildlife Federation, nwf.org/certify. You can do it online. It's a very simple application. You pay $20, and we are notified by the National Wildlife Federation about that. Does that help?
I think so. Thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you all.
Okay. Anyone else?
No additional hand raised at this time.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to start over here.
Mr. Bracchia.
Hi, Steve Bracchia, 27th Avenue. Mayor, I'll ask if you have some independent third party investigate the regionalization. I wasn't here for the last meeting, but I know I've mentioned this before, and it seems to just fall on bad ears or. But back when the vote passed both towns, it was a pretty good deal. We're going to save a ton of money, a couple hundred thousand at the minimum. And now we're looking at very high taxes on school taxes. The government's making the districts pay for the increased health care costs. None of them accounted for that. You know, this is what happens, right? Then we had an email from Kerry Wright, their attorney, saying that council members were talking. Well, the attorneys were talking, trying to negotiate the details, and in essence, not to. And I looked around and I didn't see anyone else talking but you. Ms. Hollenbeck was talking to the superintendent, she was talking to the mayor over there, she was talking to the council people at C. Bryant. And maybe nothing happened, but it needs to be investigated independently and get to the bottom of it. Because we're facing a really big tax increase and we're not going to get the benefit of the savings. And I think it's really just something that's been bugging me for a while. And I think it's important, it's great public importance and concern. That's something we really need to look into. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fugger?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Pam.
Jake
Fugger,
pull down the road. I'm speaking at
a
water from
Sorkin's
Road.
Scott, wait, Scott.
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 Hey!
Whoa. Don't just...
Not you, Jacob. Barashia. You should leave, sir.
Stop.
Let's continue. Mr. Fugger?
Okay, thanks. Here.
I am speaking as one of the newly appointed water consultant for the borough, as well as the new beach captain for Clean Ocean Action. I wanted to come up here. We will be hosting our annual Clean Ocean Action beach sweep on April 1st from 9 a.m. to 12:30, rain or shine. Everyone is encouraged. We will be in the Sea Street parking lot. Registration is mandatory. The flyer is on the website and also the Facebook page. Thank you, Ms. Clark. Thank you, Mr. Berendina, for putting that up there for us. We're asking everyone to please bring a bucket of their own to collect garbage. It's a better way for sustainability and not leaving any unnecessary waste. And we hope to see everyone there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations,
thank you.
Jacob. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yep. I'm sorry. Morgan. Come on up, Morgan.
Morgan Spicer, 620 Woods Drive. I want to start by congratulating ex-Councilman Bracchia finally having the chutzpah to call someone out in person instead of online. So good job with that. I also want to say, if you're noticing a little bit of anger, it's probably from the vodka I drank and not from the cannabis that I wish that I had the right to purchase in this town. Actually, as it turns out, there are people There were teenagers who cut themselves, who tried to kill themselves, and then resorted to cannabis, and now lead very productive, happy lives and stand right before you today. And I'd like to say that because for a reason, some people don't come to meetings and think that they have the right to say things whatever the heck they want, and I appreciate that you guys have been dealing with a lot of drama about First Amendment rights and everything, so I'm glad that you allowed that to go. But I really look forward to the town hall where some actual information can get put ahead and not propaganda. Thank you, and I would like to appreciate you by signing something that was very positive and uplifting. What I was, you know, I had reason to be angry. I would like to read proclamation from the mayor of Neptune Township, who recently passed a Medicare for All resolution. It's going to take a while, but thankfully we have our first man right, and I'm going to share it with you now. This is Mayor Cafferty's words, not mine. Dignity. That's the first thing people are deprived of when they're hit with medical bills they cannot afford to pay. It's a simple equation. When that which ails the body cannot be mitigated without fear of financial ruin, your dignity takes the hit first, followed by your wallet and your spirit. It's enough to darken any prognosis. Sadly, the reality for many working and middle-class Americans face every day, as healthcare costs continue to rise, the indignities will surely multiply. Unless we, as a people, choose a different path. The patchwork fixes heretofore deployed to address our national healthcare crisis are insufficient. We need a better, more holistic option. We need Medicare for All. Medical debt is the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country, and it's become the bread and butter of collection agencies. A survivable heart attack or stroke could condemn an entire American family to destitution, which, let's face it, is completely absurd because your heart isn't a consumer of goods and services and it can't be asked for permission to stop eating. It can't check your bank account for your credit score. It doesn't care if the nearest emergency room is in-network or not, it just beats. As mayor, it is my duty to advocate on behalf of this community, which includes nearly 30,000 beating hearts, and it is my wish for the minds assigned to those hearts and those of family and friends to no longer have to worry about crushing medical debt whenever someone has to dial 911. In Neptune Township, we choose compassion, and Medicare for All is the compassionate option our legislators have offered. The values expressed in this resolution, which I have forwarded to this mayor and council many times, the values expressed in this resolution, the values that underpin our advocacy for fairness and justice for all, are alignment with the principles that guided us in the creation of both the Rent Leveling Board and the Police Oversight Committee. Medicare for All is a serious solution for an armada of serious problems, and I'm proud that our township committee is joining the effort to make it law. We must do whatever we can to remove the financial barriers that keep Americans from seeking care. For many, being hurt or being sick or seeking care, it induces feelings of shame, and our current system often reinforces those feelings, driving people into despair. Compassion is the only sensible government response, as a nation can only be as healthy as its people's hearts and minds. Medicare for All is a compassionate response. I would like to add, these are my words, not mayor, that there are people in the community that are concerned about diseases of despair and issues of relating to drugs, and maybe we should consider these sort of things instead of fear-mongering, because I know that our police do a great job, and the fact that we know about the things that were mentioned earlier this meeting is because they do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cassaro.
Jerry Cassaro, 32 years in the No question. Comment. I actually talked to our engineer earlier. I am one of the most concerned about the drains on Mount Avenue before we get everything closed up to make sure it's going to work right, because I got bad erosion problems going on there. And future wise, all the radius is on the corners. Even though we're using peanut stone, they're horrible for driving. The corners should go concrete. We've got a mix match everywhere in town anyway. It's not going to affect it by its appearance that much, but it will save all the corners. If I was a truck run on the bridge, but we're actually going to go out, I think, maybe one. Before they close everything up, I'll call you.
Jimmy, do you need to square it off as opposed to rounded so that the trucks can get around?
The corner radius where peanut stone is now should be concrete. Cars drive over it all the time.
For the drainage?
Like, yeah, sometimes if there's snow or if the
trucks go over them when they can't cut the corner right, and the peanut stone breaks.
Okay. All right.
More stable there on the corner.
Gotcha.
And there's so many mixed spots anyway, it's not going to affect the appearance that much.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Leinsdorf? Can we squish through someone? I know. Come out.
When I thought you might like to know that the meetings in 2022 were on average 7% shorter than in 2019 before we went on Zoom and had all the participation, which I anticipated that people, when they feel informed, they're more relaxed, they know they can get the answers to the questions they need. So I thought you might like to know that. So I'm really concerned and have been for like 40 years about the usurpation of public lands by private persons. And I'll just tell you why we need to have this kind of forum. Hillside Road is a road that goes from Bayside Drive to Ocean Boulevard. It's only paved halfway down. I used to use it to walk to the bus. Every Sunday morning there were bird watchers walking up the road because we stick out. It used to be, the seaboard goes from east to west. Birds coming from Canada come down to Long Island, Jersey Shore. It's a great place to watch birds. One day I was walking to the bus and there was a dog pen in the middle of the road that had been built by the last person on the page park. Just put his dog pen, 2 weeks in the check. I went down to Pearl Hall. I said, there's a dog pen in the middle of Hillside Road. Nothing happened. Eventually, I filed a complaint, and went to court. The judge said, the man said, it's not a road, it's a traveled way. He said, it's a road, get rid of the pen. But then he said that I was a bad neighbor. So then the road started to erode. Someone put a foundation for modular houses. They couldn't get the modules down the hill. The road was too narrow. It started to erode. I went to Borough Hall. I said, it's eroding. Please do something. They didn't do it. It got worse. At a certain point, they funneled the water to the thing. Long story short, the road is no longer there. And every time it rains, Mr. Ferrazino or Mr. Phillips has to send a truck down there. I don't know. I would like it, Mr. Ferrazino, if you would tell the borough how much this is costing them, that this road is in such terrible every time it rains. So, and it's not just, it's that, the cars on the sidewalk, which Mr. Ferrazino knows about, that, and Mr. Hoogany knows about it. I've been talking about this for a decade, 2 decades. I don't know why can't we get the cars off the sidewalk at Bayshore Plaza. But the big the big elephant in the room is the harbor. I have this thing here from the state of New Jersey. The land for the harbor was donated to the borough by the Auchincloss family. But in order to develop it as a harbor, they needed to get the state to give them the tidal lands that's underwater. And that's what this did in 1940. And it says, this lease is made and accepted upon the express condition that the lands underwater are hereby leased for the purpose of being improved and maintained as a public park, highway or place for public resort and recreation, and no structures shall be erected on the lands hereby leased inconsistent with such public use. Then it goes on, it is further understood and agreed by the parties herein that the lands now or formerly underwater hereby leased shall not be used for any concession or enterprise involving a commercial return or profit. And we sit here meeting after meeting, being told what great financial shape the harbor's in. Now, I'm all for boating, and I think we should have recreational boating. But boat storage is not a recreational activity. And people talk about the last portion on the shore available to the public. This should be a park. It's the most valuable land in Atlantic Highlands. The park is behind the parking lot. The parking lot should be behind the park. And it's I just don't understand. I mean, I do understand, but that's why I'm here. To just explain that I think we need to use the harbor more in its what it's intended for, which is recreation, and not for any commercial purposes. I have other things, but I'll wait till we come around to those. I just want to say, we spent $10,000 last meeting on fireworks for the 4th of July for the Fireman's Fair. I want to reiterate, I think, at the very least, or if in lieu of anything else, it should be called the 4th of July Juneteenth celebration.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Excuse me. What document is that you're reading from?
You can have it.
Good.
No,
it's good.
I got it. No, it is. And when you're through with it, you can give it back.
We'll give it back. Okay.
I think I got it years ago. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you. This side, Ms. Smith.
Congratulations, Mr. Cusick. I think that's terrific, and I hope that you're getting it as will encourage more members of council to even.
I intend to really encourage my neighbors. That's definitely. It's not hard to do.
But then there you go. The rest of the council would also be great to do it too. As you know, that I just got mine, and I'm on a deck, so I don't have any trees. But because the trees are close by, that still covers me to have it. You don't have to have everything right on your property that you get to put out. I also want to agree with everybody on how magnificent our police department is and how extraordinary the chief is that he went to get this additional studies and accommodation, which also is a boost for the borough. It puts the borough as, now I forget the statistics, but I think it's there's only one third of the municipalities of all sizes in the state of New Jersey that have accomplished what Chief Brenger has accomplished. So I think that's pretty good. It's great to hear you
mention
that tonight.
Only 31%. 31%. He's only one of three that got this accreditation.
That got it this time,
yes.
It's terrific. Ms. Hohenleitner, you said Ms. Hohenleitner, you said before, no, it's correct, it's not like you. You mentioned before the regionalization meeting.
The mediation, the meeting for the meeting.
March 30th,
it got postponed because the our financial expert, he has a family member who's having an emergency surgery, and he's not available to be at that meeting. So it's postponed until April 21st.
The emergency surgery, no offense to him, but the emergency surgery isn't until the 30th of March?
Yes, that's correct. I can't talk about the situation, but
no,
yeah.
That's fine. I understand that too. And so it's postponed until April?
April 21st.
It can't possibly be heard any sooner than that.
Everybody's
it's a family emergency.
Yeah.
The main person, our finance, is it's his family, so.
But it can't be true. My question wasn't that. I understand that, and I feel bad for him for the surgery, but it can't come any sooner than April 21st.
We were hoping it could be sooner than April 21st. We were hoping it was going to be sooner than March 30th that we had the first, it's scheduled initially. There's a lot of moving parts in scheduling the meeting because there's so many people involved. And the mayor and Mr. Farragina and I were available for every date that has been presented to us. So we are anxious to have that meeting.
We have no backup. This man died. This is the end of the story. We have no backup that we can go to. I mean, we're talking a very important issue for the borough of Atlantic Islands and the surrounding area as well.
We agree, and we want to have the best expert possible, and that's who we feel is the best expert.
And what's his name?
Robert Beneke.
Beneke, yeah.
Oh, Mr. Beneke, yeah, I forgot that. Okay, so thank you. So it's, it could be earlier than April 21st.
It's scheduled for April 21st.
Okay. And who's going to be involved in this mediation session?
The same people that we mentioned the last time.
Just so representatives of the three boroughs?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Two boroughs. No, this.
Two boroughs.
Oh, I thought Seabright was involved in that.
Not this time.
Can I suggest that you invite Mr. Harmon to the meeting, the former mayor here, who presented a whole bunch of facts the last time in town? It's like, he knows what he's talking about finances, more importantly, is available. Well, I don't know if he's available that night, but...
He's sitting behind you,
Kath. Would you be available March 30th?
Okay.
To the council.
Ms. Smith, yes, please.
His numbers have been forwarded.
She told me to turn around and ask him. The councilwoman told me to turn around and ask him.
That wasn't me.
His numbers have been
forwarded. That wasn't me.
Muriel?
Sorry?
His numbers have been forwarded. Mr. Harmon's, Mayor Harmon's numbers have been forwarded to everybody.
Right.
But if we don't have a meeting, what difference is it? If you don't have a meeting, I don't think does anybody know whether if it's put off for yet another month, it could still make a ballot in November? Or did anybody even ask that question, or did anybody get concerned about that?
We'll be more than happy to ask Mr. Jacoby that question.
Okay. Now, I know that Tara Beams, sent a letter to the state commissioner saying that she represented this borough among others. Can you tell me when you gave her permission to do that?
So I have not read that letter, and to my knowledge, no one on this dais was asked for her permission or provided permission.
So Dr. Beams wrote this letter saying you haven't seen the letter, we have to give you a copy of it.
But I would like to see a copy of it.
See it now?
No. Later. I'll take it later.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me that Dr. Beams wrote a letter that you haven't seen, but if I'm telling you that she said that she represents this borough, you're telling me you have never given any permission for Dr. Beams to represent this borough?
Ms. Smith, at the risk of offending you, this is the sort of, we haven't seen that letter, you heard from the mayor, she hasn't seen it, Mr. Ferragina hasn't seen it, we need to look at it, and obviously if she's purporting to represent the borough, we need to figure out how that happened. But at this moment, as we sit here, you can ask us a bunch of times, we can't give you the answer because we don't know.
Well, I'm offering to show you the letter.
But
no, just, I said I'll see it later.
Meeting. Down for now. Right.
Right. I don't.
We're going to take a look at it and figure out how that happened. Then we'll look in.
Okay. I can tell you, I have spoken with Mayor Bruyon in Highlands, and she was familiar with the letter, and she has seen the letter, and she said, no, that Highlands never gave the definition at all. I understand that Councilman Beaver is here. I just wanted to see if he was still here. She was. I don't get intimidated easy, but
okay.
But I think Councilman Beaver is here.
Mm-hmm.
I turned around to look to see if he is. I am sorry, Mayor. Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't. It's just that what you do is
okay. I wasn't talking to him.
Okay, Ms. Let's, because we want, obviously, Monty, you have concerns, we want to listen to them, and to the extent we can answer the questions, we can, but if there's a letter out there that none of us have seen, you asking us, it's not,
I'm
we're not.
I'm concerned about the fact that I turn around and immediately I'm...
All right, I'm sorry that you feel that way, that shouldn't have happened, but, all right, okay.
It's more than feeling. Councilman Beaver is here. Councilman Beaver is here. Dear God, I'm going to ask you to listen to Councilman Beaver and let him talk to you about Seabright and see whether this has been brought up in Seabright.
Mm-hmm.
Would you talk?
Why don't we take a 10-minute recess now?
Okay.
10 minutes.
No,
it's okay.
No, we just want to make sure you're okay and not quiet. If
Regina, is that because I need to?
Harry, do you want me to reach out to
there's some
first
water
aid?
In there.
Do you want me to call first aid? Okay, all right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Not at this time.
Everybody, just letting you guys know, I'm on the
hammer. Ms. Smith, I do just want to, though, reiterate, I've only been here a few months, and I know regionalization is a major issue, but to a very large extent, we don't have those facts right in front of us. And it's a lot, the Board of Education, you've got Jonathan Bush involved, you've got Matt Jacoby involved, and so some of the things that you hear about, we don't necessarily know about. So we're happy that you bring it to our attention, but, you know, telling us that I mean, I don't think I speak for everybody here that none of us have seen the letter, so we don't know, anyway, the implications of that. But we're happy to hear from anybody who wants to talk to us about it. But to the...
You seem to be out of the loop then. If Seabright knows about it, and Highlands knows about it, and you don't know about it yet, you do seem to be out of the loop. And I know you're paying Mr. Jacoby, who doesn't always get here for meetings and has to rush to leave when he gets here, but that's a serious problem, I think, if you're not aware of what's going on and what Dr. Beams has done. But thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Beaver.
You're really good?
Terrific.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Erwin Beaver, 12, Cleveland Heights, Seabright. I think most of you know I'm also on the town council over there. Mm-hmm. So the letter, it's here. I'm not going to give it to you now, but I think it's forwarded to all the mayors. It came to our attention back to March 17th. Ooh. And I got to tell you, it's very disturbing for us in Seabright, and I would imagine it would be for Lenox Highlands and Highlands as well. I'm going to read the opening sentence. That's it. Commissioner McMillan, please accept the following petition submitted with full collaboration by the Boards of Education of Henry Hudson Regional School District, Atlantic Highlands School District, Highlands Borough School District, and the boroughs of Atlantic Highlands, Highlands, and Seabright. So this is a petition that she has submitted to the commissioner representing you and representing us.
We have a pending petition. The petition was never withdrawn. We have a pending petition.
So this is a revised petition.
In addition to...
Hang on. This letter is backed by a new petition submitted by Tara Beans without any discussion with the towns that she says she's representing. There was no discussion whatsoever with Seabright. We were never asked to come to a meeting, and we were never informed that this was going to happen. But this letter basically says she is not only representing the Boards of Education, but she's representing the three towns. That is an egregious violation. There's no question about that. But that's only one of the points, and I'll be happy to leave a copy of this. But, you know, I spoke to our mayor. We have to figure out what to do about this. Because we have no control over the situation. We have no control over our meetings. Because we're not in the school system. But you do. And Highlands does. So while we're very disappointed by what's happened here, with her representing us, imagine the level of confusion for the commissioner when she has a petition sitting there that's come from the three boards of education and the three towns, unified to do exactly what the study said, and what comes in is, forget about that one, I, Tara Beams, and the Board of Education have a new one, and it represents the three towns that did not give approval for that. So we have to figure out what to do about that, okay, overall. So a couple things I want to cover. First of all, we were not involved in that. We are deliberating in our town to understand what that means for us at this point in time. Those of you that know me know I've been involved in this for 2 years. I come to almost every one of your town council meetings. I go to Board of Education meetings. I care about this subject. I don't have kids in school, but I care about the kids in our schools. That's what matters to me. And it's not about tax dollars specifically for Seabright. It's about one thing. We went out to the experts, paid for by the state, and said, what is the right thing to do? Two independent studies came back with exactly the same answer. They said, regionalize as fast as you possibly can, and include Seabright. And Mr. Ferragina and I and others sat in a meeting over a year ago. We laid out a timeline of what could be done. And we said, we could probably do this in 3 months. And we could get it on the ballot last year. We're 13 months past there, and we're fighting. Why? That doesn't make sense to me. But I've watched this very closely. And one of the things I've watched, in the beginning of this process, I watched Dr. Beam represent the superintendent's office. And she did it very well. Very articulate. I liked her. Fast forward about 4 or 5 months, I watched Dr. Beam represent the BOE at the BOE meetings and here, and told the BOE leadership, don't say anything in meetings. Why? That doesn't make sense to me. Now, Dr. Beams is basically saying, I represent the BOEs and the three towns. I speak to the three towns. If somebody doesn't see what's going on here, you're missing something. It's very clear. If this happened in our town, we would take action. I don't understand why this is being tolerated at this point in time. The state paid for, we paid for experts to look at this. The only thing left to get resolved, because the formula was agreed between the three towns, was the sharing between the land town and the islands. And it came down to one word, perpetuity. Logical, intelligent people could figure out how to turn that word into something that can be reviewed on a regular basis, what makes sense. But we're still sitting here 13 months after those first discussions because of that. It's not because of that. It's because of the consistent process of delaying this process going forward. It's very clear. It's very clear to most of us. I hope it's clear to you guys at this point in time. Okay? We can say one thing, but action is what matters. And the results that we have 13 months later, from when we said we could get it done in 3, is we're finger-pointing. What we've had is we've had a bunch of arguments, we've had canceled meetings, we've had confusion. If I was the commissioner, I would sit here right now with all the stuff that we've dumped on her desk that doesn't make any sense. I would say, I won't touch this until these people figure it out. I would say, what the heck is going on in Seabright, Atlantic Highlands, and Highlands? Because the state's decision, the direction we want to move in is regionalization. We don't want to cut your state funding, so regionalize. We'll pass legislation to make it happen and easier for you. We'll protect you against litigation. Seabright has said, if there's litigation, we'll pay for it 100%. So when something doesn't feel right, you really have to ask yourself what's going on in this process, right? It's got to be a real question for the group. So a couple other things. I understand change is difficult, right? It's hard on all of us. My wife worked for Board of Education up north in Essex County. The last thing they ever want to do is change. Please, anything but change. But when change is good, it's called progress. And what we're doing collectively, I'm in this too. We have held up progress when it's been crystal clear by the experts of what would be best for us. Why? What's the reason for that? Now, in Seabright, there's a general view that the only reason we're standing here, I'm standing here and talking about this, is because we're going to save a lot of money. That's the belief. First of all, the fact of the matter is, we are going to be the very last town to save money. The reason for that is when our students come over here, we have to pay the students in two districts. And not only that, we have $1.2 million of deferred taxes that we have to pay out over a 3 to 5 year period. Atlantic Highlands and Highlands will be saving millions of dollars before we are. But we believe in this. We believe it's the right thing to do because we listen to the experts. Is it going to save us money? Absolutely. But when it's all said and done, and we're part of this district, right, the three towns come together, we're going to be paying in excess of 2 times the cost that you will be paying to educate your kids. The reason for that is we are coming to your system, and we know we have to pay a premium. The formula that was agreed will have us paying $42,000 to students. you will be paying 21. Right now in Oceanport, we're paying 37. And it's the highest rated grammar school in the state. 10 out of 10. So when you say to yourself, we have to go back into Seabright and tell our residents, we're going to pay more than we're paying now. We're going to pay twice what's being paid in those towns for a system that's rated 7 out of 10 instead of 10 out of 10. So we're going to have to deal with that, right? But in the end, we believe that together, what we can accomplish when we bring $2 million every year to the two towns is a higher academic system here in Atlantic Highlands and Highlands, because dollars can be put into that school system, and a reduction to the taxpayers. And every one of us right now is crushing, being crushed on the taxes in New Jersey. In our minds, there's no simpler way to save money than regionalize, and it's going to save the three towns $3 million for our residents, collectively. That is a really big deal. And as all of us do what we're doing, back in Seabright, in Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, the one that's suffering the most right now because of our inaction is the students and the taxpayers. And I am very, very convinced that you don't have to look too far to see where the problem is. And this egregious letter that was written should take disciplinary action to deal with. Because she spoke on behalf of the three towns without even having the courtesy of telling us she was going to do that. And what sits with the petition, commissioner now, is a 300-page document, which you didn't agree to submit. And we didn't, but we're being told that we did, and she's being told that we did. My view of what's going to happen here, and I'm just about done, is the commissioner is going to scold us. And the question was asked, what's the chances of this getting on the referendum by November? Zero to none. Because we can't even get our act together to put something in front of a commissioner to allow them to evaluate the Shore Regional Oceanport situation, which, by the way, the legislation was written to allow us out of it, and we're prepared to pay the legal costs. She has to deal with that. Because of our delay, the likelihood of this getting on the November referendum is fading away and is probably almost gone. And so is the patience of some of the people in Seabright. Because we're going to be fine either way. We're fine where we are now. Our parents want to keep the students there. They're going to push back on us for regionalization. The train is almost leaving the station. Hopefully, we get on this and do the right thing. Thank you.
Mr. Bieber, when is the letter by Dr. Beams written?
March 17th.
Okay, so we, Councilman, you just told me, was it February? Okay, so in February, we passed a resolution in support of regionalization. So I haven't read the letter. I have to read the letter, but I would be careful about saying that this is actionable, that it's a gross misrepresentation, because it would appear on the surface of what you've said that she's responding to what our borough was saying in support of. You've come before us a couple times. Sometimes I don't say anything, sometimes I do, because there are times when you say things that are just not true, like you said that you weren't encumbered, and in fact, our council pointed out, both councils pointed out that you guys are encumbered. Will the superintendent maybe not take action because, in your words, like, why would I do this, right? They haven't figured it out. You're right. That's the right of the superintendent, right? Not the superintendent. Excuse me, yes, commissioner of the Department of Education. You guys are encumbered. You have come before us and said that there won't be any lawsuits. We know that's coming. That, you know, look, it's the United States of America. There are lawyers in courtrooms every single day of the year arguing pro and con to the same law. So we know that's coming. You said that you will cover all of our costs. I looked at that agreement. I can tell you that that's not a correct statement. The borough of Seabright has said that they will cover costs incurred by the Board of Education. It does not cover the borough unless something has changed. So that's incorrect. You said that the only hang-up was the word in perpetuity. That's not correct either. The whole reason they're going to mediation, or one of the reasons I should say, is talking about what the savings share is, because we're not in agreement. I thought we were all in agreement. We passed the resolution, and then Highlands decided that they weren't comfortable with that. Okay, that's fine. I don't blame the mayor and the council wanting to look out for their own best interests. So we're going to go to mediation. But to say that we're only having a discussion now because it's over the one word, that's not a correct assessment of the situation. You talk about bringing the money into the school and the improvements that our kids will have. Look, I'm for regionalization. I'm for bringing you guys in. I've always said, and I think a lot of other people have said, that it's for the, if it's for the benefit of the taxpayers and also for the kids. Both reports, Keene and Porzio, are very clear. No new desks, no new teachers. So to say this blanket statement of like this bundle of this manna from heaven is going to land on our school and we're all of a sudden going to get all sorts of improvements, that's not correct. That's not what the studies say. But if we can help you get out of your situation, great. And if our kids can meet your kids, great. But to say that there's some sort of like grand influx of dough for our kids, that's just not true, at least according to the reports. And that's it.
I'm not going to remember that was Councilman Crowley.
Yeah.
But I will suspect that I read more on this than you have.
I doubt it.
I would suspect I have. First of all, let me start at the back. I verified that state legislation and the way the education system is structured, it is up to the three towns to decide how the savings is spent. It does not go all that back to the taxpayer. It's based on Board of Education recommendations that get accepted by the councils. That is a fact. I asked Karen Wright to do the research on that. She did the research, and she got the, I don't have it with me, but she had the documentation that showed it is the discretion of the Board of Education and the towns to determine how that money is spent. And I never implied that there's a pile of money falling from the ceiling into the school. What I said is it can be used to improve educational system. If it's 20%, 30%, 50%, 80%, that's the decision of the boards of education and the governing bodies. So don't make it sound like I'm implying that that money's falling from the sky into the Board of Education. I didn't say it, and it's not the way it works. The second thing is, and this is the main one, is this thing about litigation, right? If your attorney is here, Pat Jacoby's here, and saying Seabright is a cumbersome, and Vito is standing here, they're going to disagree. That doesn't make either one of them right or wrong. But interestingly enough, in the Bush letter that followed up, because they had to defend, try to defend what they did on the 17th, and it's incredible to me that none of you have seen this yet, but they tried to defend it. And he uses the word, this development has stalled the progress on gaining the approval of the joint petition. The commissioner has said nothing on that. What's happened is there's a pending litigation that's sitting on the commissioner's desk waiting to be looked at. And the commissioner will not look at it until a funding formula is established. Because we, the three bodies, said the first thing we're going to give you after this draft petition is a funding formula. That's what we committed to do. And we committed to an equalized value, enrollment, split, that was agreed to. And then Atlantic Highlands and Highlands agreed to a 50% split with some definition around that. That is as far as we got. But to make the statement by Bush in this letter that it's because of that litigation, pending litigation, which hasn't even taken effect yet, is the reason it's being held up, is egregious as me saying the only reason it hasn't happened is because the final formula hasn't been submitted. The bottom line is, we're the holdup. It's not Shore Regional and Oceanport. We can't get our act together. The three towns cannot simply solve what they say they want to solve. Meeting after meeting gets postponed. Item after item gets moved. I sat across the table from Tara Deans, where she said, my job is education. I will have no involvement in finances. She's controlling the finances. She's telling us, I will not go to a mediation meeting unless I'm involved in the finances. Exactly the opposite of what she said a year ago. She is driving this. I don't understand why. It should not be tolerated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Regina. Regina Keelan, 21 King James Court. They're preaching to the choir, Mayor. You were the president of education of Henry Hudson for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Very good job up there.
Thank you.
I think that bringing another school district in, I'm not against this whole thing either. But I think it might have been the councilman at Seabright saying that Dr. Bean should be brought up on some type. That doesn't have anything to do with you. What I don't understand is that if this is the case, and that she had put a letter together and said that she was representing everyone, we all need to march up to the borough, the board meetings up at Henry Hudson, because unless things change, my understanding is a superintendent gives direction or comment or suggestions to the board. And I believe there was one other thing, but a superintendent of a school district works on the behalf of what the board says to go ahead and do.
That's correct.
So this doesn't lay with you, it doesn't lay with Seabright, and it does not lay with Highlands Council. This lays with Henry Hudson, Atlanta Highlands, and Highlands School Board. They need, if this is the case that's happening, is they need to put Dr. Beans in her place and say, at this point, if she wrote that letter, the school board needs to say, you're off of this now. You don't have anything to do with it. But it's not your problem. It's the problem of the Board of Education for letting her do that. I just want to throw one more thing at you, is that everybody always says, I can do great on the school board. We need to get this person off. The school boards, both Atlantic, Highlands, and Henry Hudson school boards, don't have anybody to know basically what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any people that have been on for a while, that have been through the ringer, that knows what they're doing, knows everything. And it's not their problem either, because people won't run, because we see it tonight. You get yelled at because, I don't know, somebody just kicks a can on First Avenue. Nobody runs for school board because nobody wants to be attacked and stuff. But we have very young boys, and I don't know if they're not being directed on this is what you need to do. But it doesn't flow with you. But if they did, if she did represent the three towns, she either needs to go, if I was still on the school board, you're gone. You don't speak for us. We speak for ourselves. And somebody needs to put her in a position, in place. I know if you were there, if Miss Limer were there, if Mrs. Hawley was there,
Mr. Hawley.
No, Mrs. My mother.
And your dad.
And my dad. And Mr. Hawley, I'll forget him. But I'm just saying, because he just said, this is what I'm going to, I don't know what it is, but I am going to the next Henry Hudson School Board meeting. Mm-hmm. And I am going to get up and say, just what I said here, she should either be, at this point, I don't want to say stifled, it's the wrong word.
Censured.
Well, I said, yes, but at the least, censor and say, you do not talk about this topic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I'm going to go up to the school board and going to say right to her, if this is true, because I would like to see this letter too, and I haven't seen it.
Thank you.
I signed it?
No, she signed it.
Oh,
okay, thank you.
Okay. But thank you very much.
Just to let you know how I got on Board of Ed? Do you know how I got on Board of Ed?
My mother died?
No. Oh my gosh, no. It was Joe. Joe had the paperwork all filled out, and he said, I'm going to put you in. So it's like, so.
It was a benefit to the school, yeah. And I never heard a superintendent just go right off on the phone. So if this is true, and I'm mm-hmm. going to read it, I'm going to be at the next board meeting. And if the board up there doesn't have the to tell her that you're way out of line, it's going to be coming from me, because she totally is. So
okay,
thank you.
Okay. Mr. Farfugos.
Well, okay, I'm going to do a lot of road. I'm just going to make a couple of statements.
Mm-hmm.
One is, I do appreciate the letter which Kenny gave today, and I really agree with Benjamin. I really agree with what he's said in that letter, and I think we have to be concerned about the crime level of what's going to be going, especially summertime. We're going to get a lot of day traffic from Beach to Sandy Hook, and you know, they're going to be stopping for gas, Starbucks, or whatever, and there are going to be a lot of people who are, let's say, not of a caliber that you would want to be living next to, okay? The other thing would be, that I would like to say is, the pot shops. From what I understand, they're going to be free in the Highlands at this point? Okay, no. All right, there's one or two. Why can't our residents go there? I mean, it's not like they're going to be traveling 10 miles away. And with that, I understand that they'll deliver to your house. So, to me, it's like unnecessary, because it's such a close proximity. And also, the thing about the tax revenue, we're going to get money back. All I can tell you is, every time something goes to Trenton, I don't see it coming back. One example is, and possibly Mr. Fisher could say yes or no, but the Garden State Parkway, when they built that, they had toll, and they said when the parkway was completely paid off, there would be no more tolls. Does anybody remember that? No? Okay, the tolls have been going up instead of down and out of place. So I don't trust Trenton. I also don't trust, because I live in New York. When they built that bridge, that beautiful Verrazano Bridge, that was 50 cents, they said to the people of Staten Island who had to pay to get on and off the place, they said, as soon as the bridge is paid off, no tolls. Well, it costs like $20 to go over without an easy pass. So, I have these reasons not to trust our capitals. And the last thing is, it's going to be, if anybody of Greek persuasion, with my first girlfriend, my love, talking about parades, let's leave on a good note. Greek Independence Day is going to be Saturday. So if you know anybody who's Greek, go in there. Okay.
50%, baby.
All right. Well, I hope to keep with the parade. All right?
Thank you. All right, thank you. Mr. Lucas.
Good evening, Council Owner. Chris Lucas, 61, Court of Resignment. So I think it's my fourth one now. It's been an interesting journey. I went to partially informed, so I think I know what's going on, but then I'm not sure I know what's going on. So, a couple of points. One, I'm really disappointed with the movement of the date. Again, I think it was brought up. I personally probably totally understand things happen. I probably would have said, does the delay of a month push out the possibility of having something on the electoral? And if it did, I probably would have expected and hoped you guys at least would have tried to come up with a plan B. It seemed pretty easy. It seemed almost resigned to work out a month. And it doesn't appear to be treated with the importance that I think the people that elected you feel. You guys have to make a lot of tough decisions. There's a lot of topics and decision items that are 50-50, 60-40, right? You can argue both sides of it, right? I don't know if that's to be right, but I can see the other side. And you win some, you lose some. This doesn't feel that way. I've yet to meet a person who says, I think it's a great idea to just do Henry Hudson and I. Not one. I'm sure there's some out there. But the vocal majority says the only one that makes sense for a variety of reasons is with the three towns. Now, I was disappointed to hear that the meeting is now in April. We're going to put together, what is the right word, but proposals for both the two towns and the three towns. So, that decision already made, so I'm not going to opine on the challenge I have with that. But my question to the group is, what's the decision tree or scorecard that you guys are going to use to determine when do we bail on Seabright and take the easy path of violence? Who makes that call, and what is it, time bound? Is there a scorecard and there are certain criteria? So I'd love to understand, if it's public, the decision process responsibilities to decide which of these two things we go with. I don't know, Mayor, I'll ask you and then you can defer or you can answer.
I feel comfortable answering that question. Oh,
I need to turn my mic on. We want Seabright. So I think we're the end game is Seabright. 100%. Like, I mean, someone tell me if I'm incorrect.
Nope.
We voted on it. Yeah. And then we affirmed it in February.
February.
In early February. So, we actually purposely put together a resolution that said we want to be with Seabright, that this is the better option, and we want to make it happen. We all voted for this, and then Highlands came out, and we're trying to make peace and make it happen. And I don't, I feel really comfortable saying that. I feel like, you know, other than, you know, slanderous BS, which my husband was said BS, he did not threaten anybody. You know, other than slanderous BS, my entire job has been to try to maintain the peace in our three towns, because as I've said before, we're gonna be together. We're already married to Highlands and we love Highlands. Do we have fight as siblings sometimes? Yes, but I think we have people in place right now that are gonna make this happen with Seabright as soon as Seabright can join us, and we hope it's right away.
Mr. Lucas, can I just want to add one thing to what Councilwoman said, which is that while we're trying to mediate and come to an agreement with Highlands to move forward, and then when Seabright is unencumbered, they can come in. The thing that's important to note is that by doing the dual track of trying to work with Seabright to get them to come in, we're being smart and also working with Highlands so that we can get that approved. And what that does, and Mr. Bieber talked about savings, right? And other people mentioned savings. We're trying to move very quickly this year, because this year we need to get it done with Highlands at the minimum so that we can enjoy some of the savings that are in this new piece of legislation. And the other thing that's really important to note is that if we can get this done with Highlands, now we've got a district with expanded special needs. And that doesn't mean, when I'm not talking, because somebody said to me the other day, are you talking about special need kids? I'm not. That's just the legal language for it. It means that now we've reconstituted the way we're operating up there now with one school board, and now we can bring in anybody else that wants to come in. There are other communities around here that are not happy with the situation where they're, you know, encumbered with another school district that might want to come to us. So legally we have to do this so that we can take other schools in, because like we're not moving the needle with Trenton with just bringing Seabright in when we talk about like they're gonna you know, tear us apart and they're gonna ship our kids off to Middletown, like some people have said, right? Or wherever. I don't want to pick on Middletown, but it's important that we get this done so we can do two things at one time, and we need to reconstitute the way we're set up up there.
And I appreciate the clarification on it. I feel that the word unencumbered has been thrown around a lot, and it feels like it put the brakes on a great idea, and I think the fortitude hasn't been shown yet to fight through it. We know there's going to be some challenges. Right? This is going to cost Seabright some money, I'm sure. There's going to be some delays, but it's worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. And I guess that I'll leave you guys with my opinion only, is that if all we get done is Highlands, it's a failure. Mm-hmm. We failed. We didn't get the outcome. $400,000 less legal fees, we got nothing. Right? And we wasted valuable time and energy to create this plan B. And that's my only concern. We're a small town with limited resources, and we can't do all these things at the same time, and that's the path we're headed down. Too late to change that. I just implore you, as a taxpayer, I think speaking for the majority of residents, get it done.
Mm-hmm. That's our goal. Okay. I can say that historically speaking, last year, we were rushing to get the vote in the beginning of September so that we could have it in November. So historically, I believe that September would be, and I think Councilman Bieber was here when we had the vote. We were very excited about the situation moving forward, because we really at that point thought that it was going to be on the ballot. So hopefully we can have something together by September.
Hope is not a strategy. That's all the time.
True. So absolutely. Yes.
So, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be here at 12 Craven Lane. When Councilman Crowley rattles off a bunch of things, I try to keep them straight as we go through them. I have in my hand Resolution 145-2022, which also included a letter, which was provided to Atlantic Highlands and Highlands, authorizing sign an agreement to hold harmless and indemnify Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, and their respective boroughs, boards of education. Clear as day. Indemnify Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, and the Boards of Education. So your statement is incorrect. Would you like a copy?
You can give it to Ms. Clark and I'll take a look.
Okay. The other thing I'll say is, if all of you are pushing so hard, and if Highlands is pushing so hard,
and Seabright is, and it's what the commissioner wants to have happen based on legislation, you have to ask yourself, then why isn't it happening?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very basic question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher.
Everybody, I would just like to make a correction from a statement that was made before that no one on the council saw the letter from the Terrapins sign. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, I sent the mayor and the council and the VA an email entitled, Jacoby didn't inform Atlantic Commons residents that Terrapins now speaks for the borough too. Let off with mayor and council, please do not hit reply all, that would put you all in trouble. And it starts off with the residents just got an update from our special counsel a couple weeks ago at a council meeting that all is going well, just fine and dandy, that we're all anxiously awaiting the meetings of the minds, specializing in all things regionalization to move things along. That's the meeting that was supposed to happen on March 30th. Earlier today, I learned of an undated letter, which I found out was sent on March 17th, from Terrapins, addressed to the New Jersey State Commissioner of Education on behalf of the entities involved in the reconstituted two-town, three Board of Education regionalization effort. And I cut and pasted from the letter the same statement that Councilman Bieber read. Please accept the following petition submitted, and it lists all the towns and the three boards of education. I don't have a copy of the petition, but the new petition also would need the funding formula and savings sharing formula included in it for the commissioner to even consider it. We were told at the last meeting that both formulas for both petitions would be decided in the multiple mediation sessions. We residents were told specifically by our mayor and council, borough attorney, and the special attorney that everything is in the hands of the mediation professionals, all to be orchestrated by a very qualified mediator, and that nothing will happen until the mediation is over. Mediation to occur over multiple meetings, most likely. Well, none of those mediation meetings happened. The letter seems now to preempt any future negotiation progress. It highlights the new petition and takes away the importance of the first petition filed months ago. And I also listed six questions. Who from the council authorized Terrapins sending this petition to the DOE on behalf of Atlantic Islands Borough? Second question was, did Mr. Bush inform all parties involved that this new second petition was moving forward? Third question, was Mr. Giacobbe aware of this petition going to the Department of Education, and when was he made aware of it? The fourth question, was the Atlantic Highlands Council made aware of this, and when? The Atlantic Highlands taxpayers are very interested in any progress of the school regionalization before major milestones happen. The timing suggests that the Boards of Education are pushing for the November general election, and it even states so in the letter. Is that even possible? A question that I asked last meeting. I never got an answer to that question. None of the council were probably privy to the details prompting this petition moving to the DOE as it did. Or maybe you did know about it. Mr. Giacobbe represents the council. Please have our council address what happened, why now, and any questions at tonight's meeting. I guess Mr. Giacobbe wasn't called, and I did send the letter to all of you. So to claim that no one knew about it, well, I shouldn't say no one, some people did, but to claim that no knowledge of the letter existed, it's just wrong.
No. I mean, Mark, I won't speak for everybody. I don't know what the letter said.
Correct.
Right? I understand, but, you know, a lot of us have work during the day, and then we come here to take care of business. So, for me personally, I didn't read the entirety of the letter. I saw your email arrive. I'm aware of some letter, but I don't think it's fair to say, to infer that we don't know what the... correction. To... I don't think it's correct for you to say that we knew what the contents of the letter were. We haven't had time to look at that. I'm aware of your email, though. I will look at it.
Mr. Fisher, if I may, I'd like to remind you that I've recused myself from all these conversations, which is why I remain silent. So I have not reviewed your email in
I'm in school.
100%. I have kids in both schools, so I am interested as a taxpayer, but to acknowledge why I haven't responded to you, I just wanted to remind the public I have recused myself from this conversation.
Yeah.
And I called you.
You did.
I did. You didn't take my call. And then I texted you to tell you that executive session was going to be at the beginning of the meeting minutes later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I will be for 12 trailers. My last one for me. This is the letter that went from Bush and it went to Matching Colby on March 5th. So that's 6 days ago, whatever it is.
Okay.
And that's the letter. He's on distribution. And this sat right in front of Tara Dean's letter to the commission.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Michael Seattle, 65 Letter Avenue. I was glad to hear that we now again can ask questions. I think that's what these meetings are basically for. But the past two meetings that I did attend, we were told that we weren't allowed to ask any questions. And the thing that disturbs me most is that none of you on this board oppose it. And I find that disturbing. And the gentleman that called in earlier from the internet, he's right. There's a difference in the administration. And I concur with him. That's disturbing that none of you thought that for us not to ask any questions was an imposition on us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Look, I'm going to say this. I'm just going to say that some of us didn't say anything didn't mean that we weren't, I'll use my words carefully, that we were very interested in what was said and that some of us maybe wanted to wait until we could have a conversation rather than take up a lot of time where that was going. So I don't think it's the correct assessment of the situation. And so we've resolved where we are tonight. And we're good.
Thank you.
Mr.
Crowley, if that's so.
No, come up.
Where are you?
You, come on up.
Yeah.
Your name? Yes,
so
thank you.
That's all well and good, but you could have said something to say, I reserve my opinion at this time, because it was boo. Nobody said anything.
Thank you. So, are there anyone left on Zoom?
20 attendees, no hands raised.
Okay, so with the motion in a second, I'd like to adjourn.
Mark the motion to adjourn.
Murphy, second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.